The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Lots of great Bears calls. Bears Monday.
More of that coming up with Waddle and Sylvie. Music. Listen to that.
You like that? Thanks to Black and Abdallah. Great job as always. I don't know. Is this Pat Benatar,
Pat
Chris?
Pat Benatar? Little Pat Benatar?
I don't know who it is.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
You hold on. We've been doing this for quite some time. You guys know that the see, songs right? Don't have like a label to it. So unless you know by ear, then...
I don't know. It doesn't say, like Chris's point is, it doesn't say, this is Pat Benatar playing right now. Can you hear it? Is that Pat Benatar?
Yeah, it's Pat Benatar. It's Pat Benatar.
Heartbreaker, dream maker, gonna mess
don't
around with me.
Don't you mess around with me, it's all.
That's what I thought it was.
Line breaker.
Crosstalk.
Trip taker.
Is brought to you by Club.
Snake biter.
Excuse me? I've not heard that version of the song.
Crosstalk's brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. And Mallory's in for Sylvie today.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
It's hi.
Hey. It's up there.
I asked Johnny on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your concern level with the development of the most important person in the building?
Six and a half.
Johnny said 6.5.
Six and a half.
The man
9.6?
No, I would go 7.5 right now. I like to be patient.
The man who Mellor? Came out and said at the start of your show, what was it? He's worse than Trubisky.
Yeah,
right.
Now he's worse than Trubisky.
Those two concepts fight against one another.
Not
don't
really.
They?
Now we're worse than Trubisky, but with the caveat that you don't have to make a decision in 31 games, and he can get better.
You had to hear it this morning on the phone because, like, you could hear
the angst.
Like the not the angst. Like he was dejected. He goes, kid. He goes, yeah. Worse than Trubisky.
But he's got 9 like wins predicted, so he's got he likes the win because of it.
I'm trying to discern if it actually is worse than Trubisky.
I think it's worse.
Or if it's the fact that it's the culmination on top of just after Trubisky and having known that they invested yet another first-round pick and we're only in year two for him, does it feel worse because of that? You know, that's what I'm trying to wrestle with.
Patient. I'm going to remain patient, but I'm just...
Wait, what are you leaning towards?
I'm scared. I'm really scared.
I'm kind of with Mellor.
I think yesterday, for the first time, like, what? Look, he's a very resilient kid. You can see that. He looked to me, for the first time, he looked shook. Like, whether it was while things were going on or at the press conference afterwards, like... He's a kid that has had been, you know, been very resilient. Last year, obviously, didn't go the way. They didn't put him in a good spot. He was thrust into a tough situation. It wasn't overly good. Yesterday was the first day it kind of looked like he got shook.
And to that point, it feels like he's coming to the realization. Last year, it was his rookie year. Matt Nagy was dealing with his own issues.
A lot of other excuses.
He could tell, I think, Justin Fields, that this probably wasn't a functioning NFL franchise. So you bring in Matt Eberflus, so you bring in Luke Getsy. Week one, they played in the deluge. Week two, Packers didn't go as planned on national television. And then this week, against an awful,
just a bad team.
Houston Texans team, that first interception.
It was, it's pretty bad.
And to Waddle's point,
it's almost like he was throwing it to a spot. Like, and here's what happens when a quarterback is just struggling for whatever reason. Doesn't trust what he sees, isn't comfortable, your mechanics completely leave you. Like, if you watch his footwork now and how he's throwing, there were several times, you know, he's trying to make off-platform throws and plays and the ball's sailing on him. Like,
Once he's dropping, then he's vaulting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then the angle's up.
So that's what happens, though. When you start to lose confidence in all that's going on around you, then your fundamentals start to break down, and then you find, you know, then it gets to look like that.
And this is
what about the vast improvement, though? He found Cole Kmet twice. that's like a 2,000% increase over zero.
This is one of those situations where you say to your children, you don't get extra credit for not doing drugs. You're not supposed to do drugs.
Right. Yeah, you don't get a party for graduating kindergarten.
Correct.
Right. Exactly.
Right. We expect you to get through kindergarten in eighth grade, all right, kids?
Yes. This is not, you know,
Mom, I graduated kindergarten. When are we having a party? I want cake.
No graduation until high school, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Have you ever felt more indifferent about a win?
Well, forget indifferent. They're 2-1, and I'm apoplectic.
Yeah.
This is rough.
Good word.
It is rough. It is.
I came into the year with the following perspective. I don't care about wins and losses because I don't think that they are going to compete for anything because their talent doesn't match up. So the development of their young team, particularly their quarterback, was really the most important commodity. And so far, that's poop.
It's poop is right. Yeah. Like, I think that's what we've got to know is that can he play or not? Right now, the signs are bad. And so the wins, it is nice when your team wins a game. I get it.
It's hard to win in this
NFL. But like those wins, like the 6 or 7 wins, even if they get to 8, probably don't mean a lot at the end of the year. They're not a championship team. They're not a contending team. So like,
do you know, Carm, who it does mean something to coaches?
Sure.
You know, and I understand, like, because when a coach has to step in front of the front office and defend himself.
I get that.
You know, that W yesterday counts the same as one that would look prettier, would be more aesthetically pleasing. They all count for him. Like, I was sitting on my couch screaming, come on, just run your offense at the end of the first half.
They won't let him do it. They don't want to. I think we know why. How about the draw play when you're? I mean, just because you're like, we'll settle for 3.
Some of it was predictable, and some of it I understand. But at some point, you have to go through the evaluation process. But that fights against the job description of the coaching staff. Like, their job is to win games, and I can guarantee you they look at their team and they say the best way for us to win games
is by throwing it 15 times.
Is to limit the number of times that we're throwing the ball right now.
I hear that, but shouldn't...
I don't agree. I mean, like, listen,
But you can also, as a head football coach, look at this and say, we're in week 3. We're still trying to figure out what Justin Fields is at the NFL level. And, you know, Yurko's right. Like, there's still plenty of time. Improvement can come, right? If you do get hot, or if you can lead this team to more wins than everybody expected, and you want to get to the point where maybe you're competing for a playoff spot this year, because the schedule's soft enough and you get on a roll, all of a sudden people start believing. Isn't this a perfect opportunity at the half, trailing 14-13, where you just picked up a first down with 45 seconds? I know Eberflus talked about
Personnel change.
Like, from 13 to 11 personnel.
Let's play.
Let him roll out their call. Like, shouldn't Justin understand that, you know what, maybe if Matt Eberflus isn't calling the timeout, Justin can call a timeout there with 40 seconds to go. Get gathered up. Try and go for a field goal with 30 seconds to go.
I mean, to walk into the locker room with 3
timeouts in your pocket. And Carm, this is where the concepts are fighting against each other. Jeez. The coaching staff is trying to win it, and they just wanted to get to halftime to try and adjust some stuff.
The drive before, because he got sacked.
Yeah.
He took the sack and they settled for the field goal. That's what Yurko said. He goes, they're thinking we need, like, holy hell to get into the locker room.
I know. Listen, when you look at that
game. That's bad, though.
That's the point of how the things are conflicting right now. Yes. And the concept of winning a football game, you can argue that what they did was the right thing to do. Oof. Based on everything going. From my perspective, you've got to try to win that football game by with also trying to develop your young players.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, you can't. Yeah. From the coaching perspective, obviously that's what you've seen. Like, and that's where it's fighting. You want to get to the end of this season and maybe they win a couple more games than you anticipated, but you're still asking questions about your quarterback. What have you accomplished?
And if you get 7 or 8 wins here, And I understand, like I don't expect coaches to worry about, you know, where you're picking in the draft. No. I don't want them to do that. But at the same time, if this is where you're at, where you're completing 7-8 passes a game with Justin Fields, then by the end of this year, you should have made a decision.
You're going elsewhere.
Yeah. Even if it's at the end of his second year.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can operate functionally in the NFL in 2022.
Right. You can't.
Historically horrific quarterbacking
in modern day football.
Modern day football. It truly is horrific.
It is.
But that's not saying it can't improve. You know,
I'm an
optimist.
Yeah,
but it can only improve, Johnny, if they actually
let him play.
Let him play.
Yeah, I mean, I can look at my cup and say it's empty.
Right.
It's empty. It's not half empty. It's not full empty. Right. It's just empty right now at the QB position. But maybe it can get better.
Of course it can. But again, I don't know how it gets better unless you don't.
Mellor's scoffing. I'm with them. I'm scoffing myself. But I got to try to have some faith and give him some time.
But
miracles happen. Maybe the hands of God will be laid.
Johnny,
maybe
I'm subscribing.
Diego Maradona will come down and lay his hand upon God. Him.
Listen, I'm open to your thought. It's, you know, I've seen young quarterbacks struggle, and then the light comes on, and then gradually they find themselves. There are more times than not that it doesn't go that way, but there are times that it does. I'm just saying to you, it's really difficult to grow.
Right. If you're throwing 15,
if you're throwing 15 passes a game.
Yeah, that's hard.
I mean, really, it's remedial is what they're doing. Yeah, everything they're doing is remedial.
Yes, it is. Yes.
By the way,
Jeff, other teams are obviously getting wise to it. How many times now have you seen the offside, whether it was a linebacker or a defensive end, or in this case a safety.
Spy.
Come hard off the edge to stop that boot because they know what you're trying to do.
Well, again, and then when they say, well, they don't move them.
They're moving him.
And not only are they moving him, but they know they're going to move him. So they're going to bring the guy on unblocked, and the play is dead.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much
you can
keep going to the well with
Smith.
That.
Smith.
Against the Packers did it.
This was him, and I don't know if you can see that.
Watch this on Twitch.
He's playing right defensive end. They go action, full flow action away, and this is him. I mean, he is literally doing less than I am right now.
Yeah. Staying home.
He just stood there.
Waiting for him to come.
And waited for him. And then he came, and then he went and got him. Okay? Because nobody is being fooled anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It might be why the run game is a little bit, because the backside guy's not flowing fast.
Right.
So it might give you an extra hole in there that they can take advantage of.
Yeah.
But they'll say, fine, you want to beat us with the run?
Well,
go ahead. Because your good teams, you won't be able to beat.
Of course. Well, in the Packers, if you watch the Packer game, look, I take another way. Bears ran the ball, and it looked like the Packers let go of the rope during that stretch. And they were up 24-10 or whatever, and they were like, "You're going to run the ball all the way downfield? Go ahead. At it."
Yeah.
Now it was successful.
Use the clock and
right.
Well, because you're
write it down. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you're defeating yourself in that instance.
Yes,
of course. Bears can point to. Yes. The run was working, but exactly that. Because the Packers were like, you're running clock off. You're trailing by double digits here.
Yes.
Go ahead and help us.
You're our
opponent. Ultimately, what happened?
Yeah.
Even though you can argue Justin Fields broke the plane of the goal, nevertheless, you stalled out because you're the one who tried to run it in like that.
So the opponent, and then the clock was the ally.
Yes.
Exactly. The more the time came off, the greater ally that clock became. And the more the opponent was like, go ahead.
Yes. Well, Johnny, think about it, too. You're down double digit. I'm thinking, too, the Packers who rush the passer well, they rush the passer very well, are thinking, you know what? If they want to throw, we'll just line up and come after you. And then they come out and they run it on you. Again, I take nothing from them, but situationally, there are explanations for certain things and why they're happening.
It's the number one rushing team in the country right now.
Beyond Cleveland.
Oh,
How about this number? They're the number two. They're the Bears are the number two rushing team in the league. I think they average 187 rushing yards per game.
Yes,
still dead last in total yards per game.
Right.
That's sickening.
With the number two pass or rushing offense.
Still dead last.
Sickening.
It should open up the opportunity for play action.
Of course.
I told the guys to bring the predictions that we had. Cole Kmet, 60-some clutches or 70. I went over. Easy. Over. Over. All those are rejected now. There's not a chance in hell with three games gone that any of those numbers are coming in.
Darnell Mooney's on pace for 153 yards.
You know what, don't worry.
Over bets are dead for the Chicago Bears, except for total number of victories.
Uh-huh. That's all right. Darnell Mooney's out there at the jugs machine catching balls after the game.
Great. Right.
An hour after the game.
Wonderful.
Meatballs for meatballs.
Might as well, you got to condition your hands. Hey, you got to condition your hands, right?
To drop the ball?
No, he doesn't make a difference. He doesn't get past attempts coming his direction.
I mean,
anyway.
There were two drops, and then there was also a couple of bad throws to Darnell Mooney.
First thing I saw, the first ball that Darnell dropped going across, that was high. Catchable or not catchable?
Last year was catchable.
Last
year was a different situation. The ball on the sideline was much less catchable than this one.
Mm-hmm. Last week, you mean?
No. The one he's talking about is the one that we argued about last year on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This one was significantly more catchable.
But it's the first thing I did before I turned it a catchable ball. I wanted to get Tommy's stamp of approval on it to find out how
catchable
I should turn
ball.
It.
Catchable. Same way Brandon Cooks, the one that was thrown in the slot by Davis Mills, that Eddie Jackson came in and could have taken his head off if, in fact, he would have caught the ball. That ball's got to be caught.
Oh, my guy, Kendall.
That's open.
Kendall Valdor, huh?
I heard you talking about that.
Huh?
Nice tip.
What do you think?
It was a nice play.
What do you think? I think overall he made a couple other plays where he defended the pass very well. I know Collins got one on him and ran a little quick slant on him, planted on the third leg, went inside.
I know. What's your point, Vanessa?
My point is that I told you his development would be important for this team also, especially when you're in a nickel and a dime all the time.
All the time.
All right. Well, listen, just acknowledge.
Roquan played well.
He did. Second half, he was great. Second half.
Let's go to the star. Let's leave the guy, let's leave the joint guy there, you know? The guy that's going to put the bricks together, you know, the superstar bricks.
Take
the mortar guy and just throw him in the garbage, and let's talk about Roquan. Go ahead. Talk to him.
The glue guy is the upset. The guy who was a glue guy in his career is
Vildor.
Mad.
Is he talking about Vildor?
No, I think Yurko was a glue guy.
No, I know, but who's your glue guy? What are you talking about?
Vildor. I mean, Jesus, Yana Kahana.
All right, he played well.
When I saw 54, the center, getting into Roquan and drive him, and I almost felt sorry for the new turf that they got. Drove him and literally created a crater in the turf. I'm like, boy, Roquan's having a tough day. Then he came up with the big hit. Then you
second
come
half
up
he
with
played
the
well.
Yes.
His most impressive play was the stop on third and one.
Yes.
Much more so than catching the ball that was tipped at the line.
I can't wait to see the Kindle Vildor PFF play tomorrow. I hope it's real low just to piss your call.
I know. Yeah, and you know I don't care what PFF says anyway.
I know. That's
my own eyes
so
tell
great.
Me whether a guy's playing well or
that's
not.
That's why it would be awesome.
I don't need one of the Collinsworth clan to tell me what the hell's going on. Two idiots.
By the way, this team could be 3-1 at the end of next Sunday, too, because they get a Giants team on a short week.
Short week.
And then Peggy and I will be on after week 5.
Finally. After that dead-ass baseball team is done with this season, right?
The Sox stop playing. I think you guys should just slide right in.
I said this earlier because I feel bad for Connor, Len, DJ. They work hard. They do,
absolutely.
They work hard.
They do a great job.
You know, I said I didn't watch a single inning over the weekend. I will not put on a single inning of White Sox baseball for the rest of the year. They stopped playing.
Carl.
They don't deserve it. Quit. Yeah, they did. They completely quit.
Hey, Mankata hit home run number 12.
So
whoopee.
And I feel bad for those guys because they do work hard. Their season's not over, and they're still working, and they're still putting in work.
I thought I was at the game. I thought you guys told me Connor was doing the Bears game.
It sounded like Connor was doing the Bears game.
Yeah, they saw it. I thought he did. I thought it sounded very close.
Yeah, I was at the game, so I watched this morning. But I heard
Connor's
a little bit.
Doppelganger.
Andrew Catalan. He was the CBS play-by-play man.
Connor's voice doppelganger, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it sounded.
It was close, but I'm telling you, Courtney Cronin and Aaron Andrews, that's the voice doppelganger.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah. Courtney Cronin and Aaron Andrews.
I'm trying to think.
See some similarities.
I'm just saying.
Both of them.
Yeah. You hear
it? You got to hear that.
Yes. If you see him, it doesn't matter.
You got to hear
the similarities
voice
in the
voice. I see it. I'm
seeing
it.
You hear it.
I get it. I mean, like, I'm understanding your concept.
You can't hear Jimmy.
Right.
I thought you said I was all right.
Yeah, I got you. I know what you said.
I got you. Exactly. Yeah, so
I can understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
There you go.
What's going on here?
So the Sox are dead. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We move on from them. It's football. Now it's like
the bear claw? They won. Where's the box of bear claw?
Well, we haven't done that in a couple of years.
Where's the bear claw?
Didn't COVID put a damper in that?
It did.
You couldn't
for a
bring
while.
Stuff in.
It's confusing. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a win. It really doesn't.
It did not.
The Texans.
I'm celebrating on the way to 9, guys.
All right.
Did you drive a ticket on the over? Did you put some cash on it?
I know. He doesn't.
5-0 in the cover 5.
Well done.
Yeah, you're
coming. Yeah, making a charge up from 604th to 46th.
About that, man.
Huh?
It's a big jump.
Couple short weeks.
You are the Kindle Vildor of the cover 5.
That's right. Thank you. I don't mind being called Kindle Vildor.
You love Kindle Vildor.
I'll take him. He's probably the most effective player. If I had to list 1 through 53, I'd put Kindle Vildor about number 16.
Okay.
Most effective players. There you go.
Fantastic. I mean, he's a starter.
Anybody?
I won't argue with you right now.
Last year, for heaven's sake.
No, I don't know.
You guys hate it when I pick out talent. I know.
Well, you know what we need to do? We need to carve out a little bit of time later in the week so Johnny can... We'll have the film and Johnny can tell us exactly why he's so good.
Did Kyler Gordon play better?
I believe he did, yes. And with a couple of big, oopsies. He's young. He's young. Vildor's a third-year player.
Right.
So I expect more out of him.
Yeah.
Honest to God, Tom.
What do you guys?
It's just keep looking at me with that rosy red face.
It's so sad that we're 2-1 and I don't know how to feel.
I can't talk about Justin Fields. I'm tired of talking about bad quarterbacking in the city of Chicago. I got a history of bad quarterbacking in the city of Chicago. I can't do it anymore.
Listen, I can't do it.
I've
preached patience with Mitch. I mean, I got to be patient.
You got to be
patient here too.
No choice. It's still only what he's played.
I think it's 31 games.
Is that right? Has he played 15?
I think it's 31 games. You guys are telling me it might be 14, and they got to make a call.
No, I think he's played 15 games. So it is still a very small sample. They're not having him or asking him to do a lot. I just want to see it a little bit more. But
that offensive line does not protect the quarterback very well, and they don't have a full list of dynamic receivers. But I heard you say this earlier, Carm, the concept or the thought that people aren't open.
That's not.
You got to stop with that.
It's not true.
You got to accept the issues that are at hand right now. And the play at quarterback is one of them.
Yeah, that's bad.
And it's independent of all the other stuff around him. All the other stuff around him may not help him, but some of the issues that he has right now are independent of everybody else. And they're his solely.
Well said. All right, what's up on the show, boys?
Listen, it's a Bears Victory Monday.
Yeah, Bear claws for everybody.
Maybe we'll go pick up some Bear claws. I don't know. Is this the worst you feel about Justin Fields since he's been here? I think that's a fair question, because as bad as the Cleveland game was, yesterday brings a whole different dynamic now that you're in year two and you're playing against the Texans team that a lot of people have considered the worst talent in the league. So I'm curious to know if people feel as bad as we do. We were, again, it just doesn't feel like a win. So we're going to let people sound off with us all throughout the show.
We're going to go through a list, too, at 3 o'clock. Would you rather be the Bears or?
Right now. And going forward, too. Not just based on where you're at this season, but based on the future, where these teams are at. We're just going to,
go. Would you rather be the Bears or the Lions?
A little early, would you rather? Yeah.
That's an interesting conversation. Would you rather be there? As I sent to you guys a rhetorical question, would you rather be the Bears or the Jags?
Yeah, that's very rhetorical.
Oh, wow. I think the Jaguars, because Trevor Lawrence is a stud.
Played exceptionally well. Yeah. All three of his touchdowns were in the red zone.
Any team with a legitimate offensive line and or a legitimate quarterback is the team I'd rather be.
And the coach. I think the coach is good. So
I think he's going to be good for
him. I mean, the Lions have some real offensive talent.
They can score.
Guys.
The kneecap biter? You like the kneecap biter now. Remember after that first press conference?
No, I'm talking about the Jags coach.
Doug Peterson.
He's won
a Super Bowl.
But the Lions, they can score.
The Lions can score.
But they do some questionable stuff.
I know. We talked about some of the...
Kicking a 54-yard field goal.
They went on the 4th-and-1. They didn't get it. And then I think he got scared off. And then he tried to kick the 54-yarder. And he probably botched that a little bit. Probably should have just kicked the first field goal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get what he's doing. And I didn't look at the analytics. I don't know what the fourth down calculator says about it.
Look, they've got guys.
If you stay on the field, it's huge. He's right. Like, I kind of appreciate that, but maybe he should have just made it 6 there. I don't know.
But they've got a good offensive line.
They do.
They've got a good back in Swift. He's dealing with some issues. They've got a couple of receivers. Chark was good yesterday.
Amon-Ra's a stud. Yes. He's a star.
Their tight end is solid player.
He comes from an offensive factory.
Oh, yeah, Iowa.
Comes from a tight end factory.
We were running the Iowa game plan on Sunday out there.
Yes, we were.
To perfection, actually.
My friends. All right, boys. We will see you. Remember, we're on early tomorrow. We're on at 10 after camp.
I'm on at 7.
We're going to be. Yeah, you're on early.
Oh, Tommy's not early. Huh?
See you at the golf outing.
See you out there. What are you getting up at 4 a.m.?
I'm getting up at 5 and in the car at 5:20.
Limo Bob coming to see you.
No, man. I'm driving myself. No, limo Bob.
We're on early tomorrow. We're on at 10. So we'll see you then. Waddle and Sylvie. I'll get you home next. Mellor's in for Sylvie. See you tomorrow. Have a good day.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
You don't look very excited for a Victory Monday, Mellor. You're sitting there with your arms crossed. Jeff Mellor in for Sylvie today.
This is not what I meant when I said I wanted Justin Fields to play quarterback like Russell Wilson. This is not what I meant at all.
Not this version of Russell Wilson.
No. And somehow
he's been bad too. Yeah. It was a beautiful drive he led them on at the end of the game last night. He put a bow tie on a cow pie. That was a turd of a game last night. Oh my God. Jimmy G was awful. The Broncos were awful. There was one drive that was worth watching.
Yes. And I thought are you talking about San Francisco's opening drive? That was fun. And then things went awry quickly.
I was actually eating dinner at that point. Didn't really see all of it.
Maybe they scored the touchdown. That was the one good drive the 49ers put together.
It was a garbage game. Maybe the worst game I've seen, and I can't tell you how long.
I thought it was a perfect way to end my Sunday night.
Really?
After watching the Bears. No, because it just encapsulated the entire day of football. We have a fabulous week two, thrillers all over the league.
Yeah.
And then you just, it turns into whatever yesterday was, a whole bunch of meh around the around the league, including what was going on at Soldier Field.
And you were there for it.
Boy. And I feel
Could you feel the tension in the building?
I don't know if there's a whole bunch of tension.
Could you feel the excitement in the building?
No, I really couldn't.
Could you feel? What was the emotion that you felt in the building?
Listen, I'll let the fans speak for themselves at the end of the first half.
Eberflus not using his timeouts either. And the fans are sitting there going at home. I'm maddened. I'd use my timeout right now.
Well, they have all three. They could have saved some time here. And instead, it looks like Eberflus wants to play conservatively. Fields is in trouble, and down he goes. And more boos from these Chicago fans. James, what do you think of not using those timeouts?
Well, I'm an offensive guy, and I would use the timeouts. I would stress the defense as much as I could. I hear you letting them off the hook and letting them go into the locker room on a high.
And they're letting them have it here in Chicago.
That was going on quite frequently throughout every offensive possession.
It was going on in my living room as
well.
Were
you too? Yeah.
Well, I wanted to see them play. Let's go. I mean, like, I get it. This is, again, where the conflict exists for me. I understand why Coach Eberflus did what he did. The last thing they wanted to do was take an already uneven first half and make it worse for some reason. A self-inflicted wound that put them behind the eight ball even more. I get that. But at the same time, like, for me, my perspective is obviously different than the head coach. The head coach and his entire staff are trying to win a football game. I told you from day one that the wins and losses really don't matter as much to me because I look at this as a long-term project. I look at this as a developmental. So if I'm more interested than development, especially of your most important player, and less interested in the actual outcome of the game, which I know is not the way that the coach sees it, I want to see them play. I want to see them be aggressive. Even if you make a mistake, so be it. You got to learn through those moments.
I agree with you. I will respond to that. But for anyone who missed it, Matt Eberflus, after the game, was asked about not using timeouts at the end of the first half. This is how he addressed that.
Yeah, so right there we were at 46 seconds. So we want to bring that down on the minus field to 35 seconds because they had multiple timeouts. Because if you get that first down, you get and they bang timeouts and we punt the ball, then they have a rebuttal drive. Okay, but here's where we got to be better. Okay, because we were in 13 personnel going third and one. Okay, and then we subbed. Once I saw him sub there, I should have called timeout at 35 seconds, and we were in five. So I got to be better there on that situation right there. We're going from 13 personnel back to 11 once we got the first.
So it sounds it sounds like he may have adjusted the way he had. This is what I say to that, though, Jeff. It's the Texans.
Yes.
So if the Texans stop you and you have to punt it to the Texans, it's the Texans.
That was exactly my thought. If not yesterday, then when?
Yes.
You're in Justin Fields' second year, third game of the season. It's not even the opening. You're 1-1. You're trailing 14-13. I understand what he's telling us about a potential playing defense. He's a defensive head coach, defensive-minded head coach. Doesn't want to put himself in position for the Texans, who have Davis Mills as their quarterback, by the way, also a second-year quarterback, concerned about the, quote, rebuttal drive. If things go...
Again, this isn't the Packers. This is the Texans. And that's why, like, this is... And I get it, though. I mean, this is where the push and the pull comes into play. It's coaching staff, again. When they're evaluated at the end of the year, you look at their record as much as anything. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. A W is a W from a coach's Sure. perspective, from a player's perspective as well. But when you're in a situation that I feel this team is in, and it's a rebuild environment, this is where the push and the pull
you're
start
right.
to leave you a little...
But I think this is problematic. Look, Eberflus at this point, at this stage, first year, we know what this roster is. We know Ryan Poles, the way they've approached it.
And it's a rebuild.
Absolutely. They've shown us with... Every move they've made, you know, don't listen to what they tell us. They talk about, you know, they talk a good game, but the reality is watch what they're doing. Everything's being pushed to next year. If they want to be competitive, it's all been pushed towards next year. This year is absolutely about evaluation. Next year in the draft, they'll have a full complement of draft picks where Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus can go in and use a first and second round pick on potential, you know, difference makers in those spots. Fine. But at the same time, if this year is about evaluation, that was a perfect opportunity. to not just evaluate, but also let him go out there and grow. Justin Fields had clearly been faced with some adversity in the first half. But yeah. You know what? They weren't getting the ball back to start the second half. The Texans were. So don't just cower. Go out there and try and make a play. Let Justin Fields do something. Listen, if he can, and again, Luke Getsy can be conservative in his play calling, but you can still go out there and make an attempt. And the fact that, if Justin Fields is so bad that he's going to make a mistake, if you put him in a spot
find out sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if he can respond, so be it. I'll submit to you that with 40 seconds to go and three timeouts and the ball around the 30-yard line, that unless Justin Fields is going to throw a pick six in that situation, and if he's going to, let's find out then and there.
Yeah.
You know what? In a season when it doesn't matter and you've shown us that it really doesn't matter. It's all about evaluation this year.
This is why I was saying last week that the front office is telling you one thing indirectly or directly, however you want to interpret it, by how they've constructed the roster. And then the coaching staff is telling you something different. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. Listen, I'm not asking anybody to throw games. I'm not asking.
No.
Winning games is very hard in this league. And from a player's perspective and from a coach's perspective, your job is to win the game. But in the process, what have you learned through 3 weeks about your quarterback? Not a lot. Or what you've learned isn't satisfying. So, I mean, I don't know how you grow unless you actually put guys in a position to sink or swim. You've got to allow them to show you that they can handle it, handle the adversity, handle the good times, handle all of it. It's part of the process. You're professionals. So that's where my gripe comes in. Like, I get it. They're 2-1, and the job of the coaching staff is to win games. And on that front, they've been successful 66% of the time. From this chair, where it's not my job to win football games, I look at it and say, yeah, you're winning games, but at the end of the day, what have you accomplished in terms of the big picture here? And I don't know what you've accomplished. I really don't. Your quarterback is struggling right now. I said it with Carmen, the good kid. That's the first time I've seen him look like have that kind of look on his face.
Shook.
He was shook. That's the way I interpreted it. And he's been a very mentally tough guy. I don't think he's ever experienced failure, right? At any significant level. He was a fabulous player at Ohio State. My guess is his high school career in Georgia was also very decorated. This is adversity. And you're going to come to a point where an opposing team is, in fact, going to control your running game. That's going to happen.
Of course.
It's just a matter of time. And then at that point, and I guess that, their approach is we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But at that point, then you're going to have to, ask them to be more balanced.
And I would say, too, what we saw last Sunday against the Packers were in full control of that game.
Yeah.
So even though you were running the ball, the Packers didn't give a damn.
No.
They had a double-digit lead. They were more than happy, as we just laid out, to watch you help them run the clock down. So
Stop you made at the Packers, they stopped themselves. They fumbled a snap, which was recovered by the Bears, and they fumbled another snap when Christian Watson went in motion and hit him in the ass, and Aaron Rodgers went back and recovered the ball. It was 3rd and 22. That's how that third quarter kind of stalled and made it look like the Bears got back into that game. So
against functioning NFL offenses, you're probably going to struggle to beat them 23-20. The Houston Texans, it's essentially a mirror image of you when you look on the other side of the offensive side of the ball. A very
but what are they doing with their quarterback? They're allowing their quarterback to actually work through these moments as a young QB. Look, there were some positive things for sure. Offensive line struggles to protect the quarterback, but they're very good in run blocking. I think Khalil Herbert deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to accomplish. Unfortunate for David Montgomery to get hurt, but last week he ran hard. I think the defense came up with some takeaways when it was important, big plays. One was in the end zone, and the other one was at the end of the game. Roquan, the ball's tipped to the line of scrimmage, and Roquan comes down with the play. I thought Roquan played exceptionally well in the second half. There were some positives, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, I dare say this is one of the least satisfying wins I can remember in a very long time.
Oh, I'll echo that, and considering they're 2-1, and so early in the season, it absolutely is one of the least satisfying victories I can ever remember, especially when it came against Houston Texans, who had your former head coach, Lovie Smith. If there was any type of revenge factor that you wanted to feed into the narrative, it, again, very hollow victory for me. Jimmy's on the north side. Jimmy, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. Meller in for Sylvie today on ESPN 1000. What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, we are happy. It's just, it's a frustrated happy.
Oh, yeah. It's a medium happy. There's no doubt about that. Medium happy at best. Hope the families are good.
Amen.
Guys, speaking of family, you know, my father-in-law is from Buffalo. Massive Bills fan. Yeah. And, you know, I talked to him earlier, around when my kid came, because they came and stayed at the house, and he said the number one thing that Josh Allen developed on was getting Stephon Diggs. If you look at Josh Allen's first couple years in the league, pretty brutal. I mean, no, like low 80 quarterback rating his first year, 65 quarterback rating. Now, I'm not like excusing. I have the same reservations about Justin Fields as everybody else. But if you don't have a guy out there who can be your outlet valve, who you believe can win one-on-one against even the best cornerbacks in the league, sort of like Mitch did with Allen Robinson, he basically just threw him the ball whenever he didn't have anybody to see, then, I mean, I think that there's going to be a chance for this team to develop next year. That being said, they're running the ball down these guys' throat and then all the way through their back ends, and they're setting, you know, breaking records that Walter Payton set in the 80s. I don't really see the need to be, you know, that anxious and to need to see the passing game. So, guys, you know what? Win the game. Like, if you'd have told me that Fields was playing this way and they were 2-1, I'd have said you're on, you know, some sort of PCP conglomerate.
Jimmy, thank you for the call. That's certainly half full way of looking at it.
Yeah, and listen, I get it. Like, I've the first thing I said to you was, is I understand why the coaches are doing what they're doing. It's their job to win games, and players should feel good about a 2-1 start. Real quick, though, Josh Allen's a good comp because Josh Allen came into the league with a high expectations, and it took him time. These are the passing attempts for Josh Allen in his rookie season. He came in halfway through the first game. It must have been the first game. 15, 33, 22, 33, 19, 17, 19, 33, 36, 26, 41, and 26. Those are his passing attempts in his first year. In his second year in the league, he went throughout the course of the year, 37 attempts, 30, 36, 28, 32, 26, 34, 20, 41, 33, 25, 24, 39, 25, 26, and 5. I get it. I don't think anybody's asking them to air it out 45 times a game. But the point I'm making to you is Josh Allen had some up and down moments over that stretch. But the only way you really learn is to put yourself in those situations. And it doesn't look like they were allowing Josh Allen to only. So we're going to use the Josh Allen comparison. Josh Allen is throwing the ball significantly more. And they're living with the good and the bad throughout the course of it. So, again, this is a push and a pull. The offensive, you know, strategy is one, they're trying to get the W. In the meantime, the quarterback development is being hampered by it.
He's Waddle. I'm Meller. And for Sylvie today, this is Waddle and Sylvie, 312-332-3776, taking your reaction to a Bears victory. How are you feeling right now with the Bears 2-1? Are you in a good spot now that they are tied atop the NFC North? Or are you a little bit more in the camp that Waddle and I are in, a little bit disappointed with where Justin Fields is at in his development? We'll let you hear what Justin Fields thinks about how he played yesterday. We'll do that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The body language of Justin Fields yesterday after that first interception, CBS was giving us the views. It was clear he was not happy with himself.
No.
And we saw it on multiple occasions. I know they showed it immediately after he threw the interception, and then a couple plays into the next drive when the Texans had the ball, they kept showing him on the sidelines kind of like talking to himself and very upset with the whole first interception. And we didn't even, I don't even know if we got a really good view after the second interception
I can just tell you, he threw it into three or four guys.
And he missed the safety.
And I'm sure he had the same feeling of, you know, disappointment in himself for making that mistake as well.
Justin Fields talked about how he evaluated the game yesterday.
Tell you better. All the things that were first and that's it. I play straight up. I just play like, I don't like to say the A word, but I'm not going to do that. But I just play like trap. Play terrible. And really just got to be better.
That was a little hard to hear if you missed it. He said he played like trash.
Yeah,
that was his evaluation of his game.
Good stand-up guy, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, he's like, I don't think he's got great leadership skills. I think he, you know, for the most part, he's got all of the, you know, all the tangibles that just they're struggling to put it together right now, and he's got to be significantly better going forward.
Yeah, and so it's...
I mean, if you think you're getting to where, you know, the promised land by throwing the ball 15 times a game and completing, he's completed no more than 8 passes in any game in the first 3 games. If you, again, you can run the ball, fantastic. You're getting timely takeaways. I got it. This formula isn't going to take you where you think it's going to take you over the course of a long stretch of games. This is an anomaly. Like if you try to project what this style will lead to over the course of a 17 game season, it's not going to be a 66 win percentage. It's just not.
And even if somehow, some way, you scrape out 9 or 10 wins and find yourself into that 7th spot in the playoffs, you know, is that really what you're shooting for, to go and get your ass handed to you in the playoffs when you're playing more dynamic offenses that are going to push you to score more points if you want to win?
You're not getting to the postseason averaging 80 passing yards per game. You're just not. I mean, listen, I get it. There's a positive to winning games. You build a culture. This team has also shown you that be resilient. I don't believe they've given up a second-half touchdown in 3 weeks. Like, there are some very good things to pull from what you've seen so far, things that you can use in the future going down the line. But in the meantime, if you don't figure out, or you don't give the quarterback a chance to figure out himself, then I think you're doing, over the course of time, I think you're doing everyone a disservice.
That is the voice of former Bears receiver Waddle, but you know that. I'm Meller in for Sylvie today. Roger in Bolingbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. So actually, you just touched on my point, right? So do we think that the fact that now we're 2-1, that the coach is being a little more conservative on the play call? Because, hey, I'm going to be 2-1. And if so, two out of the next 3 games could be wins, Giants and Commanders, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So now we're looking at 4-2. So then does the coach say, wait, let me see how much I can ride this out and continue to play the same way because they're winning, quote-unquote. And so I guess that'll be a concern for me, but, you know, I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
It's a fair question, Roger.
It is. Like, this is the difficult part of it. Again, it's hard to win in this league. And the fact that they've won 2 of their first 3 games is pretty impressive, all things considered. I just don't think they're going to be able to repeat this formula for the duration of the entire season and get to the postseason playing ball the way that they're playing right now. And then if you don't, and over the course of the season, you're giving your quarterback 15 throws a game, and he's struggling, but you're running it okay, and you're coming up with a couple of timely takeaways every now and again, and it gets you to 7 or 8 wins, the end of the year, have you done all of the evaluation that is necessary? I mean, it's an interesting question.
I do wonder, Roger brought up, you know, did the week 1 win change their game plan and outlook of the season? I wonder, too, if Justin Fields, you know, missing some easy throws, missing the layups that you talked about last week in the film session, missing some of those layups yesterday, throwing a bad interception early, I do wonder if that changed Luke Getsy's approach to the game. Maybe he all of a sudden said, I need to pull this back. We're trying to win it, so let's run the ball more because we are doing it effectively.
Real quick, there's 2 things from a coach's perspective. The coach up there and Luke Getsy's got to make sure he doesn't put his player, his most important player, in a compromised situation. And if he feels like he's not equipped to do something, he's going to be reluctant to ask him to do that. And they're trying to win games.
Sure.
So, like, I get it's just a natural push and pull right now with this team. And the only reason I feel strongly like that is because they told you what they felt about the 2022 season because they purged the roster.
Yep.
And they told you with their actions, this is a full rebuild. And when you evaluate them talent for talent across the league, they come up short more times than not. So at the end of the day, wins are great. But you've got to try to do both. You got to try to win, but also in the process, evaluate your guys for the future. And And so far, they've won. They've won two out of three, but I don't know if the evaluation process has delivered any real answers.
I'm scared. They're 2-1. I'm scared to death of what Justin Fields might just be. We're going to go around the league, look at some of the other 2-1 teams, yeah, find out where the Bears are at in comparison to that. And oh, by the way, they're 2-1 right now. And you know what could be on the horizon? And I'm saying this without being facetious at all. 6-1.
Oh,
I'll tell you why next.